Exempt from the end-of-term tests as a Triwizard champion, Harry had been sitting at the back of every exam class so far, looking up fresh hexes for the third task. "Suppose so," Harry said to Ron, but just then Professor McGonagall came walking along the Gryffindor table towards him.
"Potter, the champions are congregating in the chamber off the hall after breakfast," she said.
"But the task's not till tonight," said Harry, accidentally spilling scrambled eggs down his front, afraid he had mistaken the time.
"I am aware of that, Potter," she said. "The champions' families are invited to watch the final task, you know. This is simply a chance for you to greet them."
She moved away. Harry gaped after her. "She doesn't expect the Dursleys to turn up, does she?" he asked Ron blankly.
"Dunno," said Ron.
"Harry, I'd better hurry. I'm going to be late for bins. See you later."
Harry finished his breakfast in the emptying great hall. He saw Fleur Delacour get up from the Ravenclaw table and join Cedric as he crossed to the side chamber and entered. Crumb slouched off to join them shortly afterwards. Harry stayed where he was. He really didn't want to go into the chamber. He had no family. No family who would turn up to see him risk his life, anyway. But just as he was getting up, thinking that he might as well go up to the library and do a spot more hex revision, the door of the side chamber opened, and Cedric stuck his head out.
"Harry, come on! They're waiting for you!"
Utterly perplexed, Harry got up. The Dursleys couldn't possibly be here, could they? He walked across the hall and opened the door into the chamber. Cedric and his parents were just inside the door. Victor Crumb was over in a corner, conversing with his dark-haired mother and father in rapid Bulgarian. He had inherited his father's hooked nose. On the other side of the room, Fleur was jabbering away in French to her mother. Fleur's little sister, Gabrielle, was holding her mother's hand. She waved at Harry, who waved back. Then he saw Mrs. Weasley and Bill standing in front of the fireplace, beaming at him.
"Surprise!" Mrs. Weasley said excitedly, as Harry smiled broadly and walked over to them. "Thought we'd come and watch you, Harry."
She bent down and kissed him on the cheek.
"You're right," said Bill, grinning at Harry and shaking his hand. "Charlie wanted to come, but he couldn't get time off. He said you were incredible against the Horntail."
Fleur Delacour, Harry noticed, was eyeing Bill with great interest over her mother's shoulder. Harry could tell she had no objection whatsoever to long hair or earrings with fangs on them.
"This is really nice of you," Harry muttered to Mrs. Weasley. "I thought for a moment the Dursleys."
Said Mrs. Weasley, pursing her lips. She had always refrained from criticizing the Dursleys in front of Harry, but her eyes flashed every time they were mentioned.
"It's great being back here," said Bill, looking around the chamber.
Violet, the fat lady's friend, winked at him from her frame.
"Haven't seen this place for 5 years. Is that picture of the Mad Knight still around? Sir Cadogan?"
"Oh, yeah," said Harry, who had met Sir Cadogan the previous year.
"And the fat lady?" said Bill.
"She was here in my time," said Mrs. Weasley. "She gave me such a telling off one night when I got back to the dormitory at 4 in the morning."
"What were you doing out of your dormitory at 4 in the morning?"
said Bill, surveying Mrs. Weasley with amazement. Mrs. Weasley grinned, her eyes twinkling.
"Your father and I had been for a night-time stroll," she said. "He got caught by Apollyon Pringle. He was the caretaker in those days. Your father's still got the marks."
"Fancy giving us a tour, Harry?" said Bill.
"Yeah, okay," said Harry,
and they made their way back towards the door into the great hall. As they passed Amos Diggory, he looked around.
"There you are you?"
he said, looking Harry up and down.
"Bet you're not feeling quite as full of yourself now Cedric's caught you up on points, are you?"
"What?" said Harry. "Ignore him," said Cedric in a low voice to Harry, frowning after his father. "He's been angry ever since Rita Skeeter's article about the Triwizard Tournament. You know, when she made out you were the only Hogwarts champion."
"Didn't bother to correct her, though, did he?"
said Amos Diggory, loudly enough for Harry to hear as he made to walk out of the door with Mrs. Weasley and Bill.
"Still, you'll show him, Sid. Beaten him once before, haven't you?"
"Rita Skeeter goes out of her way to cause trouble, Amos," Mrs. Weasley said angrily. "I would have thought you'd know that, working at the Ministry."
Mr. Diggory looked as though he was going to say something angry, but his wife laid a hand on his arm, and he merely shrugged and turned away. Harry had a very enjoyable morning walking over the sunny grounds with Bill and Mrs. Weasley, showing them the Beaubaton carriage and the Durmstrang ship. Mrs. Weasley was intrigued by the whomping willow, which had been planted after she had left school, and reminisced at length about the gamekeeper before Hagrid, a man called Og. "How's Percy?" Harry asked, as they walked around the greenhouses. "Not good," said Bill.
"He's very upset," said Mrs. Weasley, lowering her voice and glancing around. "The Ministry want to keep Mr. Crouch's disappearance quiet, but Percy's been hauled in for questioning about the instructions Mr. Crouch has been sending in. They seem to think there's a chance they weren't genuinely written by him. Percy's been under a lot of strain. They're not letting him fill in for Mr. Crouch as the fifth judge tonight. Cornelius Fudge is going to be doing it."
They returned to the castle for lunch.
"Mum! Bill!" said Ron, looking stunned as he joined the Gryffindor table. "What are you doing here?"
"Come to watch Harry in the last task," said Mrs. Weasley brightly. "I must say it makes a lovely change not having to cook. How was your exam?"
"Oh, okay," said Ron. "Couldn't remember all the goblin rebels' names, so I invented a few."
"It's all right," he said,
helping himself to a Cornish pasty, while Mrs. Weasley looked stern. "They're all called stuff like Bodrod the Bearded and Erg the Unclean. It wasn't hard."
Fred, George, and Ginny came to sit next to them too, and Harry was having such a good time he felt almost as though he was back at the Burrow. He had forgotten to worry about that evening's task, and it wasn't until Hermione turned up, halfway through lunch, did he remember that she had a brainwave about Rita Skeeter.
"Are you going to tell us?"
Hermione shook her head warningly and glanced at Mrs. Weasley.